right now, waking up this morning, looking for answers. And they're searching over here, over there, everywhere but in Jesus. There's people right now knowing that there's a purpose in their life. Knowing that there's something better for them than what is currently taking place. And they're waking up this morning, going to this spot, that spot, to the connection, to the mall, to Burger King, wherever. They're trying to fill that void within their life. And many of them are going to the wrong place. But for you and I, my friend, we are in the temple of God. We are at the right place, at the right time, here this day. There's no excuse for you and I to leave the temple of God still with a void within our heart, a void still within our life. The very foundation of Jesus is going to be getting preached here this morning. That if you follow and that you implement them into your life, you will not be that same person. We're going to hit in a lot of scripture today. We're a Bible church. Let's take notes. Amen. If you don't have a notepad, bring one next time. Bring a pen. Get yourself a good Bible with a good commentary in it. Or a Daily Walk Bible where you can read the Bible in a year. These are the ways that we're going to have breakthrough. This is the way that we're going to have breakthrough within our lives. It's doing the very things of Jesus, following the instructions of Jesus. The book of Matthew chapter 21 verse 13, if you don't have a Bible, the verses will be on the screens that will be getting preached on this beautiful day. I once again want to thank everybody. We have a very good attendance here this morning. I want to thank everyone for being here this morning. Very familiar scripture in Matthew 21, verse 13. The Bible says, "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." Father, we ask that you conduct this service this day, that you lead us by the way of your Holy Spirit, that you lead us this day, Lord, that you lead us today unto basic instructions, Lord, for us to be victorious sons and daughters of you, not only disciples, but disciple makers of the lost and the bound. In your precious name we pray, and we all say one accord, amen. I'm going to be moving kind of quickly, amen. Not real fast, but I'm going to be moving here this morning, amen. Matthew 21, 13 says, "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." This morning, I want to title the message, "Building a House of Prayer." I was possibly going to be speaking at a regional that we had a week ago, and a lot of this message was what I was going to share for before seven churches. So I know that we are very important, and I'm going to share the message that I was going to share with seven churches with our local church here of Victory Outreach Milwaukee. Building a house of prayer. Building a house of prayer. The Lord says, "My house will be called the house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." I've always shared on this verse. I just put it into the message this morning as I was reading it over. But there's many people, I say this over and over, and it's the truth because I hear it from many people that call me, that speak to me, that used to have been with us in our other churches. And they speak to me and they're so grateful for everything that they learned with us and in the foundation of continuing to being able to grow. The word of the Lord says that my house will be called the house of prayer. So in order for this to be the house of the Lord, what's got to be taking place? Prayer. My house will be called the house of prayer. So it tells us, in order for the Lord to abide in this house, which is a church, it's simply just a building, there must be prayer. My house will be called a house of prayer. Now, the exact opposite of not having a house of prayer is a den of robbers. Amen? When prayer ain't taking place in the temple of the Lord in a place that it should take place, well, then all of a sudden, we're robbing God of what He wants to do in our lives, in our marriages, in our children, within this city, within the lost of the bound, within this region, within this world. All of a sudden, if we're not careful, for many churches are under this umbrella of going to church on Sunday, but it being a den of robbers and not the house of God, not the house of prayer. So it's very important as members that make up the church that in your house, that your house should be able to be called the house of prayer, amen, the house of God. Your house, you shouldn't say this is my house or this is my apartment. It should be this is God's house. This is God's apartment. He abides here because I pray. My house is the house of the Lord because I pray. It's very important that we not only pray in the temple, but that we pray within our homes. Because I always say it's the many houses that make up this church right now. This ain't a certain type of people here, and then you go back home and you're somebody else. What really makes up the strength and the power of this church is the many houses, the many apartments that are gathered here this day. So if in your house, at the house, if there's no prayer taking place, you're robbing God of what He wants to do in and through your life. You're robbing God, parents, of what He wants to do in your children's lives. We're robbing God of what He wants to do. Because when God ain't in the house, when God ain't in somebody's life, you're going to be getting robbed of His plan and purpose that He has for your life. Real quick, Psalms, as we go to Psalms 127, verse 1. Very familiar scripture. I jotted down this morning also. Where remember, we're building the house of prayer. Psalms 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house. And I know a lot of y'all you got this verse memorized. But are you putting it into action? Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. So just because you have a job and you're paying the bills, don't mean the Lord is the one building your house, building your marriage, your family, your children. Let's go real quick, 1 Corinthians 3:10. Real common scripture, real well-known scripture. So here we're finding out how important prayer is, how important it is that it's the Lord building our house. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul speaking, by the grace of God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. This is the part I want you to catch. But each one should be careful how he builds. Each one should be careful how he builds. Very familiar scripture, but I believe it's very important in where I'm going with the message. In other words, we just can't come to church anyway. We just can't live anyway in our houses. The Bible says that each one of us need to be careful on how we build. In other words, we all have a part in the building of the kingdom of God. We all play a part here this morning. We're all builders. We're all workers, co-workers of Christ. And it really is important how you build. It's really important what you do on the side that ain't of Christ, because that's going to hinder how you build. It's really important in what you know of God's word and you still don't do, because it's going to hinder the building of the kingdom of God. In the equipping of your life, we need to be men, women, and youth that are careful how we build, how we speak, what we do. If you want victory in your life, who wants victory in their life here this morning? Who's got a struggle here this morning that you want the victory in? Raise your hands here this morning. I'm giving you the layout here this day to have success. No matter what your past is about, you could have messed up your whole life. I'm giving you right now Jesus that is able to change your life, that is able to change the lives around you. In this end time, wicked world that we live in, things ain't always fair. The enemy never plays by the rules of the game. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to deceive the very people of God that should have the truth, that should be able to discern the lies of the enemy. So here, 3:10, we need to be careful how we build. And that's where I go to 1 Corinthians 3:11. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:11. And the Bible reads, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Which is Jesus Christ. If you want to be a builder that builds carefully, you're going to have to build upon the foundation of Jesus. And if you want to build correctly and upon the foundation of Jesus, you're going to have to know who Jesus is. You're going to have to know the blueprints of the foundation that we're supposed to build upon. There's no way you can build correctly upon the foundation of Jesus and not know who he is and not know his word and not have a praying life. It's impossible. There's guys that do architects and big old skyscrapers. And you can get the best company build that skyscraper, and even though they've built all kinds of them already, they still need the blueprints to go off of in building that skyscraper. So here the Bible says that Jesus is our foundation and that we got to be careful in how we build upon the foundation that has already been laid, the foundation of Jesus. If you want to become a mature leader, I put here, You're going to need not only prayer, but word as well. Prayer and word go hand in hand. A lot of times people will be more stronger, whether it's reading, it's easier for them to read, or it's easier for them to pray. We're going to have to get to a place where we're able to do both. They go hand in hand. Amen? They go hand in hand. I put here well-developed leaders. These are just simple points for me. Well-developed leaders are always growing. Are always growing. The Bible says that He gives every man a conscience to know right from wrong. You know where you're at here this morning. Whether you're doing really good, okay, or doing really bad, you know where you're at. But just a lot of times we try to portray ourselves at a higher level than we really are. You know what's taking place in your heart and the way you're thinking. True leaders are always growing, always looking for ways to grow. I put here, becoming a mature leader takes time. Simple points. So I put, don't get frustrated, don't give up. It takes time in becoming a mature man of God, a mature woman of God, a mature youth of God. It takes time. So we can't give up when things take place. We can't give up when things take place. It takes years and years and years and years of refining, being in God's will, where we actually get to the place of being mature and not so quickly responding and incorrectly and speaking incorrectly and getting mad and cussing and doing all those things. See, a mature Christian ain't gonna cuss at the drop of a hat. A mature Christian ain't going to say anything. It just comes to his head. But you'll be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It takes time to get to that place where you're able to be slow to speak and quick to listen. It takes time. It's a process. But within this process, the Word of God and prayer needs to be implemented. It needs to be in there. Too many times, people are trying to go from glory to glory. You're trying to go, you know, elevate without praying and reading. It's not going to work. It'll work for a season. It's just not going to work. You're all caught up about going to work. You're all caught up about this. You're all caught up, but there's no time being spent with the Lord. No time being spent with the Lord. It's just not going to happen. I put here, one of my core values as a minister, my conviction. We should all have core values. That's like a guideline in saying, this is who I am. Your values are, they're values. So when you're going through, you say, no, these are my values. These are my core values here. I'm not going to do that stuff because it don't match up with my values that I have for my life and growing from glory to glory. A real heavy conviction in my life, a core value within my life. I put here, one of my core values as a minister is to develop men, women, and youth to stand based on prayer and word in having a true relationship with the Lord. I do a lot of things. But that's one that, for the long haul, that I work with people for the 10 years down the line, 12 years down the line, where I want to see that man, that woman, that youth get to a place where they learn how to stand for themselves in Jesus. They learn how to stand by prayer and word. And they start, Jesus starts doing that work in their lives just like He did in my lives. That's one of my core values, to develop men, women, and youth to know how to stand based on God's word and on prayer, in having a true relationship with the Lord. How can I have that as a core value in my life? It's happened in my life. It's something that I thought would never, ever come close in happening in my life. Today, I'm able to stand 2,500 miles away from my pastor. 12 years later, I'm able to stand now with the power and the strength and the guidance and the counseling of my pastor. Because now I have the counselor of counselors. I got Jesus in my life. I've learned how to come to Jesus. I've learned how to stand on His Word and on a relationship through prayer with Jesus. That's got me through all the storms of 18 years and counting. I today know how to stand upon the Word of God. And that is my desire as your spiritual father, that every man, woman, and youth, no matter if it takes 5, 10, 20 years to establish within your life a true relationship with the Lord. I speak to the youth and stuff. They're gifted. They're talented. But I don't want just to work in their gifting and to teach them bass and guitar and drums. I want to take them beyond their gifts and talents. I want to take you to learn how to be a husband one day, to learn how to be a son one day, to learn how to be a wife one day, to learn how to be a daughter one day, and not just operating in your gifts and talents. Because your gifts and talents will only take you so far. Your gifts and talents will not change your life. Your gifts and talents will not take you from glory to glory. A relationship with Jesus will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, once again, very familiar scriptures. Each and every one of y'all are going to need the Word of the Lord within your life. Whether you're a top leader in the church or this is your first service, if you want victory, you're going to need the Word of the Lord in your life. You're going to need the Word of the Lord in your life. You just can't keep going on and on experience of the past. On what mom and dad and grandma would say all the time. Well, I remember my dad used to always tell me, you know, Jesus says, and I remember grandma would always say, no, you got to get your own revelation. Your own relationship with the Lord. If you truly want victory. In prayer intercessory night, I taught that there needs to be a hunger and a thirst within your life for Jesus. We prayed that Wednesday, that Sunday, which is today, that men and women and youth would come in tired. Like AA says, sick and tired of being sick and tired or something like that, right? And coming in with a hunger and a thirst in what Jesus has to offer. Tired of doing it the world's way. Tired of doing it man's way, doing it the boss's way. Getting to a place where you're tired. Where you want to see God's Word, His promises come to pass in and through your life. There's going to have to be a hunger and a thirst in desiring Jesus for your life, for your marriage, for your family, for your ministry, for the calling upon your life. Too many people come to church not hungry with what the Lord has to offer on the menu. What's being served this morning? Prayer and word. A relationship with the Lord. That if implemented within your life, it's able to transform your life. I don't care who you used to be. God's word and prayer and a relationship with the Lord is able to change you. And it's able to use you to change others. I'm a prime candidate, an example of what I'm preaching here this morning. A full-blown heroin addict, drug addict, in prison for 7 years, OD'd, all that stuff. I understand this day. how one can become lost and bound, how family can't help you, how money and a job cannot help. I understand this day, but I also understand that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is able to do anything and everything when you let Him in. When you start desiring Jesus in your life, when you start putting Him first as the breakthrough that you're looking for within your crisis that you're facing here this morning, the answer is being given right now to anybody's and everybody's situation, even though there might be a lot of different situations taking place right now. The answer, Jesus, is being given. The answer to your trial, the ups and downs, is being given right now. But will you leave and go to a Christian bookstore and buy yourself a Bible to look up what I'm preaching, if it's the truth or not, if I'm making up as I go? I'm here to let you know that every last one of y'all can be used of God in a mighty powerful way, no matter what you've been through. You ain't got no excuses here this day. Well, Pastor, you really don't know me, man. You know, I didn't OD 50. I OD'd 30 times, and I didn't go. I did 20 years. Jesus is able to break through all that. He's able to break through all that. Remember, we're getting these readings are coming from Paul, a Christian killer, writing these scriptures here. Amen. Here in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. Very familiar scriptures. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We all should have that verse memorized. The old has gone and the new has come. But I want you to read, stay with me on 18. It says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. A lot of big, big, fancy words right there. Reconciliation just simply means to bring back to God. Amen? Here the Bible is saying in verse 18 that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God wants to use you and I in the ministry of reconciliation, where He uses you and I to bring others to Him. See, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to bring some of you right now to Christ. And what am I using to try to bring you to Christ this morning? God's Word. What did I use at 5 in the morning? Prayer. So here the Bible says in verse 17 that God saved us. But God don't only want us to be saved. He's also given us a ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20 says, we're not just saved here this morning, amen? We're saved with purpose. Verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Amen. An ambassador is simply one who speaks on the behalf of somebody. Amen. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, not just the enemy ambassadors or the connection ambassador. Amen. Christ ambassadors. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We are ambassadors. We're in the ministry of reconciliation. And God is using us, amen, to speak His very words and bringing people to the Father. And if we're going to be speaking, amen, be in the ministry of reconciliation and bringing people to the Father, we need to learn the language of the Word of God. We need to learn the Bible. Too many people have been saved for years and years and years, and you still really don't know what the Bible means in your life or for the life of somebody else. And I believe there's some of you here that read the Bible a lot and yet have no understanding of it still. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. God wants to use us as instruments, as His extensions that are able to bring the lost and bound to Him by the means of Christ. By the means of Christ. Every last one of us knows someone that is all messed up right now as I speak. Every last one of us knows somebody that is all messed up. We know they're a good person, but they're all messed up because they're out of Christ. They're out of the will of Christ. The Bible says in 17 that we've been saved. But it also goes on to verse 20 that says that we're ambassadors of Christ, speaking the very words of Christ. In other words, we really got to know who Jesus is if we're going to speak on His behalf. If we're really going to bring the lost and the bound to the Father, we really need to know Jesus. How do we learn Jesus? Through the Word of the Lord. How do we learn Jesus? Through prayer. I always say prayer is simply us speaking to God. Reading His Word is God speaking to us. You put the two together and you got a communication taking place. You keep the two together for a good time, all of a sudden there's a relationship taking place. I believe there's just too many people going to church and not learning who Jesus is. Being saved but never becoming that person, that ambassador that Christ has called for us to be in verse 20. Never getting into the ministry of reconciliation. Christ just don't want to save here this day. He wants to use our lives. He wants us to do the work of Christ and using Christ and leading people to the Father. We're co-workers of Jesus. How many are pushed to the point where they're saying, Pastor, man, you don't even have to finish the message, man. I'm buying me a Bible on the way out. But too many times, because of religion and other churches that you've been to, you feel like you just come in here, clap, say amen, praise the Lord, and do all that stuff and worship and not even open up a Bible. Have no praying life whatsoever. But yet you're still wanting the victory in your life. Yet you're still wondering, how am I going to get out of here? How am I going to get out of this mess? I'm giving you the answer this day. It's like I'm giving you homework. And we're a people that hate homework. Pastor, can you call it something else besides homework? Homework. You do it at your house. Not only once a week here at church, you open your Bible or look up on the screen, but homework. Homework. Homeboy. Homework. A true relationship with Christ starts at your house. This is the place where you hear the gospel, where you get saved and everything, and you get stirred and turned, and hope starts coming your way, but you got to take it home with you. You got to take it home with you. You need to do your homework. We need to know Christ in order to speak on His behalf. How are we going to speak on His behalf? We got to learn how to pray and communicate with the Lord, and we got to learn how to read. We got to learn how to read. I believe everybody can read here. There might be a few that can't read. I know there's a guy in the rehab. He can't read, and he's inadequate. But little by little, man, Felipe giving him that word, little by little, that brother's, he's got months in the home now and don't know English and can't read. What's your excuse here this morning? You know why that individual's making it? Because every day they wake up in prayer and word. You guys know English, you know how to read, you got a Bible, but still there's no revelation, there's no relationship. It's religion. There's a few people I've been talking to, hey brother, man, you're going to have to start praying sooner or later. You're going to have to crack that Bible open sooner or later. You want to listen to me? My words, instead of blessing you today, are going to end up hunting you. You need to start reading. You need to start becoming a giver. Because there's going to come a time where this is going to be called upon and it ain't going to be in you. And it's going to be made people's business. You know, if you want to go to college, you got to go to college. You got to pay for the courses. You just can't say, I want to go to college. I want to go and get your diploma and get your college. You can't. You got to go to college. And I'm going to keep preaching until I turn blue in the face, because one of my core values is that men and women and youth are going to learn how to stand by the word of God and prayer. Have your lives transformed and have the authority and power to transform other lives around your life. But nobody wants to do homework. It's quiet. It's almost like I'm picking up an offering right now. Nobody wants to do homework. Because the majority of us were not kind of poor when it came to school, including your pastor. I went through all of high school. I graduated because my dad was the principal of the high school. All of high school is a pothead and a half. At lunchtime, a couple of bottles of Boone's Farm, amen, wine, and all buzzing all through high school. I would get to the class and just go to sleep, and I would wake up with a big old red thing on my forehead. My dad would be there standing between all the classes. You would have like 5-7 minutes to get to the next class, and my dad would just look at me and say, big old red thing on my forehead, all stone, going to the next class. The cars would be parked real close to the high school. Sometimes, yeah, let's do it. In between classes, smoking on, and come back into the class and lighting up the whole room. What did I do? Just go to sleep. I went through 4 years of high school without ever taking a pencil or a paper or one book of homework in 4 years. Thank God for the grace and mercy of the Lord. I thank the Lord for the grace and mercy that He had upon my life. But I believe that's it. With the people and the church and the ministry that we have, I believe that's a stronghold. Education, having the basis of for studying habits and stuff. That's why it's hard for a man to go and sit down and pray or read your Bible for an hour. It's like crazy. Because you're not used to doing homework. You tie in a Bible to a math book or a reading book or English book, and it just don't sit right. But God has called us to be ambassadors, speaking the very words of Christ. How many know that the devil ain't just going to sit back and let us establish a relationship with God? The devil ain't just going to sit back and let you get all high today on the Most High and go buy your Bible and just like a rocket. The devil ain't just going to sit back and let you have a relationship with the Lord, because he knows the power of people that have totally surrendered to the Lord that he's lost. Matthew 24:35. The Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. In a world that is uncertain, constantly changing, it's good to know that we serve a God that don't change. Computers are always becoming obsolete. The phones, everything's changing every month. Computers and phones, to iPhone, to the next one, to 3, 4, 5. Everything's always changing. The good news of the gospel here this morning, that we serve a God that don't change. You can continue growing and growing and growing in the Lord, and he's not going to switch up and says, I'm going to teach a different way now. No, his word stays the same and it will never pass. It's something that we can count on in a day and age that we live in that is always changing, always going up and down. The word of God is an anchor. It's a foundation. It's a rock. It's able to keep you even in the storm. It's able to keep you even when everyone else is going through changes. the same storm you're accounting. You could be working at the same place, and you got the peace of the Lord, and the other person's going through it. Because some foundation is on the sand, and some is upon the rock of Christ. What's your foundation looking like here this day? 1 Timothy 2:9. Not only does the Word of God will never pass or never change, it can't be changed, but also the Word of God cannot be chained, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's Word is not chained. Some of you are shackled up right now. You're shackled up right now. There's things that are taking place right now that got you shackled up. Some of you are in bondage right now. The good news about the Word of the Lord, it don't change. Amen? And it can't be chained. I spoke a long time ago when the Lord gave me a word as I was preaching about the Word of God that cannot be chained. And Paul was saying, even though I'm chained, the Word of God cannot be chained. If the Word of God cannot be chained, tells me that God's Word is not only key in our life, but a key, a master key. The Word of the Lord is a master key. A master key is one that can open all the locks. Within this church, there's one key that pretty much opens all the doors, all 20, 30, 40 doors in this place. One key opens all. It's a master key. You don't need a different one for each one of them. There was a man that worked at the VA hospital that went up the ladder, and they trusted him with a master key. They said, if you lose it, that's a $1 million key you got in your hands. Because they would have to change all the locks in a place that, man, is huge. It's huge. That place is huge. It was a key that opened the majority of all the locks to that place. And the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of doors. And he was sworn in that he was to lose it. It was a $1 million key he was holding. The Word of the Lord is something you need within your life. It'll never change, and it can't be chained. So if it can't be changed, it tells me that the Word of the Lord is a key, not just any key, but a master key. It's able to unlock any lock. I put here, to experience what Paul experienced behind prison bars. Even though I was chained and I was locked up, God was able to still set me free through His Word. Before my out date came around the corner, I was set free before the gates were open to prison. God, through His Word, had set me free. And here I am 18 years later, I put here. When I was in there, I heard a click. Something happened when I was reading the Word of the Lord, a Kenneth Copeland pamphlet. Something happened. Something went click. Like when you open a lock and it goes click. Something clicked within my life. In the last year of prison that I was in there, I was still cussing, womanizing, checking out the woman guards. I was still smoking, doing all that stuff. But all of a sudden, I would start read the Word of God, and some clicks would start taking place. That by the time I got out of prison, I wasn't cussing no more. I didn't have a church to go to, but I was reading the Word of God, and there was clicks. It was like locks were being opened in my life that had never been opened and that never would have been opened if it wasn't for the master key, Word of Jesus, that is able to open any lock of bondage. So I would, the little clicks would start taking place for the very first time in my life. I would start getting breakthroughs in certain areas. A click after click. Many locks of bondage were being broken. I put here in my notes, I believe there's many here this morning. As you walked in years ago, into the Church of Victory Outreach Milwaukee that many of y'all, as your pastor would start preaching, you would hear click. The bondage of alcoholism would be broken. Click. The bondage of prostitution would be broken. Click. The bondage of heroin addiction broken. Click. The bondage of crack addiction broken. Click. The bondage of marijuana broken. Click. The bondage of suicidal broken. Click. The bondage of being a womanizer broken. Click. The bondage of being a manizer broken. Click. The bondage of being homeless. Click. The bondage of being a gang member broken. Through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus that cannot be chained, but is a key that is able to open the locks that are holding you as a criminal in the house of God this day, where it should be a place of liberty. As I'm preaching right now, I know what the power of God's word, when it's being delivered, of what it's capable of doing. I know what the power of God is able to do when His word is being unleashed and it's being preached. Right now, there's locks being broken in your life that you thought would never be broken right now. The key, the master key, Jesus, is being given to you right now. To every situation of your life, every bondage, every stronghold right now can be opened and broken by the word that cannot be chained. No matter what you're going through right now, how severe it may be, the God's word can come through this morning right now and set you free. God's word cannot be chained as we can be chained. Paul said, I was chained, but I was set free before my out date. Because of the word of the Lord, this click started taking place in my life. I'm no longer the same man. When the word of the Lord came to me the very first time, man, yokes were being broken. And I believe there's some here. Yokes have been broken and you're still not reading and praying. You become content and satisfied with where you're at right now when God wants you to become an ambassador into the ministry of reconciliation. There's people dying right now and you're happy with where you're at right now. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10. There's power in the word. 1 Corinthians 10, 3-5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. There's power in the word of the Lord. I am a witness. I am an eyewitness of Christ that there's power in the word of the Lord. And too many times we take it for granted as if it can't do nothing for us. That is not worth spending our time reading the word when we could be doing something else and trying to help out our situation. Prayer and word, I believe, are the strongest weapons that we fight with. Verse 5 says, arguments and every pretension. Arguments. Pretensions, in other words, when man makes claims that keeps us from the knowledge of God. There's some of you that are always arguing, making claims, doing this and this. And what it's doing, it's keeping you from the knowledge of God. It's keeping you from the knowledge of God. You'd rather fight with these than fight with these. You'd rather go to prison than open up the Bible in your house. The enemy is crafty. And he knows if you get into word and prayer and into a relationship with the Lord, that he'll lose you. He'll lose his grip on you. And everything he does with the arguments, and arguments just keep people from getting to the place that God wants them. When you're always arguing. When you're arguing, that time spent arguing keeps you from the knowledge of God. And you rather argue all day than spend 1 hour with the Lord to keep the devil away. Verse 5 says that take captive every thought. We learn not only that we have the authority to unlock through God's word, but also to take captive, to lock. We have the power in God's word to lock up the lies of the enemy. Your mindset, I put here, is the key that the enemy uses to lock you up. Your mindset, on the other hand, is a master key that the devil uses to lock you up. He feeds you thoughts, you let them come in, and you're arguing all day long with your wife or your husband or your kids, whatever it is, the boss. Your mindset. But a mindset renewed in Christ through prayer, through word, amen, is able to discern correctly by knowing God's word, a truth from a lie. And when the lies of the enemy come in, you're able to put them captive. I always say, we got the power and the authority, the key to put the enemy's thoughts captive, to put into submission to God's plan for our lives. But if you don't put them captive, he will put you captive through your mind. Too many in the church captive through their mindset, the poverty mindset. I had a poverty mindset. Oh my God, there's still some in there that God still got to take out. But I know I'm in the process of going from glory to glory right now. I'm okay with it. I put here, the more we're able to put captive, the more word we have within our lives, the more we're able to allow Jesus to unlock them, and the more we're able to put captive the lies of the enemy. The more of Jesus that you have, the more word represents more discernment. The more word you have within you, the more you're able to discern correctly when it hits the fan, when that argument kicks up. I've been reading this week and I've been so amazed that I've been wanting to say stuff, but I've held my tongue, and I found it to be very Bible in what I've been reading this week. Too many times we want to say what we want to say because we're not a punk. You know, you can't let them get away with it. But the Lord is our vindicator. Vengeance are mine, says the Lord. We need to learn how to humble ourselves in order to allow him to be the one that fights our battle. And when we allow the Lord to take vengeance, when you allow him to do it, he's going to do it the right way. When we take vengeance into our hands, we will always do it the wrong way. So the more the word of the Lord you have in your life, the more you will be able to discern and detect the lies of the enemy. You become the jailer. You become the jailer with the keys instead of the inmate. I told Jamie, Pastor Jamie, that I was going to do a Vethi commercial. We offer a college course here in the church. I put here this morning, all leaders and potential leaders should take the college course and graduate. If you're really serious about what the Lord is doing in your life, you're going to be in that college course. Anybody come to church once in a week? But there's that word homework again. You're going to be given homework. We need the word of the Lord to be our foundation if we're going to build correctly. We got a lot of doers in the church. A lot of people that want to help. A lot of people that want to build. Amen? But too many times when the word ain't the foundation, you're going to be helping incorrectly. You're going to be more of a, you know what I'm saying, than a help. You want to help, but you're doing it in your ability, not based on what God's word says. Not based on what God's word says. As the worship team kindly please makes their way forward. It was just a lot of real well-known scripture. But if you put it to work in your life, it will change your life. It will change the situation you're in right now. You know what my job consists of? Sitting in a chair all day long, reading the Bible and praying. My daughter Bianca walks in and says, "You're still there? Like I'm doing something wrong." They walk in, close the door, close the door, close the door, close the door. Take Mocha out. That's my dog. Take Mocha out. Mocha always wants to jump on me. Take her out. Close the door. Close the door. I'm with Jesus. Everything has been laid out for you. Everything's been laid out for you to have victory. Everything. Jesus took it all the way to the cross. That was the extent of his love for you and I. Everything's done for you to have victory. We have a beautiful facility. We have a bunch of core ministries in the church that you can become involved in.